Hello, members of the Lasting Supper. This is David Hayward. For today's Meet a Member podcast, I'm talking with Scott Gillespie, also known as Cowboy Junkie. Hello. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good, good. Also known as the Cowboy Junkie.
That's right.
Good morning to you. It's 11 a.m. here, and it's, 8 there, right?
Yep. Sun's not even up here yet.
Oh, wow. Wow. So cool. A fellow Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So tell us a bit about yourself, Scott. You're in Alberta on the prairies or in the mountains or what?
Yeah. On the
Hello?
Prairies in the, okay. In southern Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
Wait, Scott?
Yep.
You're fading in and out for some reason.
Okay. I'll just try to check. Yeah, I seem to have good connection right now, but...
Okay.
Are you still able to hear me now, or...?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but just once in a while, your voice just totally disappears, so...
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll try a different spot, so...
Okay.
Yeah, out here in the windswept prairies.
Uh-huh.
We're expecting, by the mountains, I think they're expecting over 100 kilometer hour winds today. And wow. Here we'll be a little less. We're about 200 kilometers from the mountains, but we can see them on a clear day. So.
Okay. For Americans, that's about 120 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Scott, tell us something about yourself. You joined the Lasting Supper, I think, pretty close to the beginning of when it started. And I really don't know. Did you grow up in the church and you've left, or you're still going, or what's happening there? You're married with kids, right?
Yep. Well, okay. With one kid.
Okay.
With one adopted kid.
Okay.
And we adopted him a little over 2 years ago. Okay. So, and he's an older child when we adopted him, so he's actually almost 9.
Wow.
So, but and we are looking at another one, but we're still settling into this new routine right now, so.
Okay.
But I didn't grow up in the church and never religion was never really something we would ever talk about at home.
Really?
But I that's something I don't really know if my parents' religious history was, but it was something it just would never came up, and if I talked about it, it never really, you know.
Hello? I lost you there.
In high school, there was a youth group that I got involved in.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed it because the one guy that, the leader of it, I could talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him more about farming than anything else, but it was more just, it was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was really in university that I kind of, I guess you would say, came to faith.
Right.
And, but there in my first real experience was having the university chaplain had what she called open door church.
Mm-hmm.
She was Anglican, but we would go to this United church off campus.
Right.
And it was on Sunday evenings and, just a small group. And we would sit in a circle and kind of have church that way. And it just felt a lot more close and connected that way.
Right.
And we would even do communion with regular wine and pass it all around in one cup. And, you know, I really enjoyed that time. So, yeah.
So, that was in university. Where'd you go to university?
University of Guelph.
Uh-huh. And so when you finished university, did that sort of, spiritual, you know, practice kind of fall away, or what happened there?
Well, in university, I eventually got involved in the Navigators there.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And again, it was a very interesting group because we would get together on Sunday afternoons and have kind of a, kind of a teaching, but kind of more of a open kind of discussion, like in somebody's home.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a potluck dinner, and then we'd hang out for a while. So again, it kind of felt close and connected.
Uh-huh.
Kind of. And but you know, the thing I found with it was that it would, you know, it was based on the university system. So
right.
You know, we'd go for the fall. We wouldn't see each other for a month over Christmas, and then
yeah,
we'd go for the spring, and then for the summer there is, you know, by the time you kind of cut off before exams start and get going in September, there's almost 6 months where there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, I guess over, you know, since then I've been in many different churches and
mm-hmm.
church experiences, but never anything quite the same as what I had back in university.
Do you miss that?
Yeah, I do. I always liked that, but uh-huh. It seems like wherever I go to a church, the small groups or the whatever they call them
are
always the second priority.
Oh, okay.
Or I guess like, you know, like the church service is always the priority.
Right.
But not the smaller groups are the things you add on. So
right. So you really love the smaller group, the intensity, and getting to know people,
and more having discussion rather than sermon or a teaching or, you know, that type of thing. So
So are you involved in the church now, or are you and your family going anywhere, or?
I haven't been probably for 2 months now mm-hmm. to the church we had been going to. I was kind of over the summer, I started skipping every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the fall, it kind of got down to just maybe once a month. And now I haven't been there. Yeah. So.
Does your wife and son go?
Well, and that's the thing, is that over that same time period, my wife has got more involved in the church as a worship leader and the ladies ministry and that type of stuff. So, she's getting more involved, and I'm pulling back and pull away. So,
can you talk about that? Is that creating any tension, or is there just do you have space for that, or what?
It's not, I think there's tension, but I think it's either that she's letting me have my space so that eventually I'll come back, or she just doesn't know what exactly to think of it. Like I've had some discussions and talked to her about my changing beliefs and, or what I see true now, but for the most part she just kind of continues on with that. So
right. So Scott, go ahead.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
And even with the church too, it I had been going to doing some of the men's breakfasts and that type of stuff, and you know, but what I find interesting is that in this time, like I'm pretty certain I haven't been there for at least 2 months, and nobody's contacted me, and I've even asked her, nobody's even asked anything about where I am or what's going on. And our son, he'll sometimes go to church and sometimes he'll stay home with me. Mm-hmm. He kind of just, we let him decide. So
what can I ask, what kind of church it is? What denomination or?
It's called New Life.
Okay.
And I think they're kind of I think the organization they're a part of is called LifeLinks International. And I think it's kind of something that it started kind of in Southern Alberta, and it's kind of more of a network of churches.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more of the
kind of vineyardy.
Yeah. Kind of like that. And kind of, I don't know what you would call it. Like when we first started going there, there was a lot of the speaking in tongues at the during the service, or that would happen. Mm-hmm. Lately, like for the last year, I never saw any of that type of stuff. But they're more of that that type of a church. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, what I've noticed, a lot of people either leave the church because they've had a traumatic or painful or, you know, something experienced, and then others leave the church because theologically or intellectually they don't find it stimulating or they find it too limiting, and then others just kind of drift away because it's just not meeting their needs, and, you know, it's they'd rather be in relationship with people instead of going to a service, and, you know, all this kind of thing. So it doesn't sound like you've kind of had a terribly negative experience from the church.
No, I don't think so. I think it's been more just, I guess, slowly changing, mm-hmm. changing beliefs. And I think, and I've had a few negative experiences where, you know, try to talk about things I wanted to do, like in a youth ministry, and I was, wasn't really told no. It was more told, well, I think I need to explain things to you again so you know how things work. You know, that, and then going through the whole philosophy of ministry and that type of stuff. So
yeah,
there's been many things, but I think it's more. I think I've I had my own spirituality, and I think I I still find Jesus fascinating and in mm-hmm. a lot of the sayings and what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I cloaked it in Christianity, or cloaked my spirituality in Christianity. And I think I've letting go of that, and I'm
mm-hmm.
moving on. But, I think the book that's most interesting right now is, I've got that Zealot.
Oh yeah.
I think it's Reza Aslan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of going over the more of the historical person. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think, you know, I think understanding who the actual person was, I think, is where I am right now. So
that's a pretty fascinating read, actually, isn't it? And especially considering his story, where he was, I believe he was Muslim, raised Muslim, and then converted to Christianity. And then now I think his mom is still...
His mom is still Christian.
Still Christian, yeah. And then he's no longer Christian. I'm not sure if he reconverted back to Islam, but
I think he was raised. I don't think he was raised anything in particular, but I think he got involved with the Christian
right.
group, and he converted his mom, and then he was starting to look back at his roots, and now he's a Muslim,
yeah.
or he would say he's a practicing Muslim, but
he is a practicing Muslim now.
He says, yeah, he is. Yeah. Like, I think he's regular Muslim, but he, at his core, he is a scholar.
Yeah.
Like, I think
he's gotten a lot of criticism for writing that book. I remember one, I think it was Fox News or something, where they said, how dare you, critique Jesus when you're a Muslim? Like, something like that. It was, like, unbelievable. But,
that's how I originally heard about the book. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, and he was on Tapestry on CBC.
Oh, that's right. And that's a good interview, actually.
And that was a much better interview. So
Very good. And I also find it interesting because there's a lot of, I think he threw his hat in, into the historical Jesus debate, because there's a growing school of thought that there wasn't even a historical Jesus. So him coming out and saying, talking about the historical Jesus and the way he did, I think is pretty incredible and very interesting. And I like his approach. So I think it's a good book. And when you read that along with like Croissant's book on the historical Jesus and stuff like that, I think it's, a really good contribution.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm interested in kind of getting back to that.
Uh-huh. So what other kind of books are you reading? What kind of books or what kind of things have changed your mind, theologically? Just for our listeners, you may be either wondering what kind of books contributed to you changing your mind.
I haven't did a whole lot of reading
mm-hmm.
lately, and I've been just kind of going back over a lot of books that I want to
mm-hmm.
get to. I know that many, like way back in, I think just after university, I know that Simone Weil had really, I had got really interested in her, but I couldn't, I had read a little bit, but not much. And I've noticed that, like, I have a lot of books that I accumulated over the years, and I've seen there's a few of them that I have that I never read. So I want to get back to those ones. And actually, this is where it's kind of interesting, is that my mom gave me, there was a book, and it was called The Original Sayings of Jesus. And I think it came out of that the Jesus Project. I think it's that, like, that Marcus
Marcus
Borg
Borg and
and all those ones.
Funk.
And I even found in my books too, there was some the Lost Gospel Q, which is the way I understand it is what they consider to be the original source
The
for the
oral
gospel.
tradition.
Yeah,
Q is
and
the
I
or
found, yeah, I have like a book. It's, you know, obviously it isn't the original Q. It's kind of a made for the lay reader or the somebody who doesn't know all the ancient languages. But I have those, and I think you know, I think what's changed me or changed me the most has just been the Lasting Supper over this last year.
Oh
So
no, don't blame
just
us.
I think just having that you know, finding people and seeing some discussions and that type of stuff and getting into them. But yeah, I'm trying to think, like, I think I think just even just reading in general, like just reading just some novels and some other things, and just seeing the kind of opening up. Like, I always love reading and I always love learning new things, so I want to get more into that, so.
It's true, like with the Lasting Supper, what people bring to the table there is pretty amazing. A lot of stuff there has changed me too. I mean, the Lasting Supper started, just a little over a year ago, and man, the change that I've seen in my own life just from being exposed to the lives and the thoughts of other people is pretty profound. So that's pretty cool. But I've said this before, one of the most influential books that cha started changing me, I think I've compared it before to Jenga, where my whole theology was built like a Jenga block tower, and the thing that held it all together at the very bottom was the inerrancy of scripture. And one of the a book I read, I was in seminary at this time, so I wasn't, a teenager anymore. Was James Beach, The Silence of Jesus, and it was like that one Jenga block was removed and everything crumbled. It was devastating, absolutely devastating. But he talks about, he believes there's like eight sayings of Jesus that for sure, including the Jesus Borg and Funk and those guys agreed there was about eight sayings that Jesus, they believed that Jesus actually said. And so it was pretty devastating, but that's what started changing me. But that was like 30 years ago, so.
You know, I guess I'd say that there's been all kinds of stuff that has changed me over the last while, and I think I want to start kind of writing about them,
Oh,
you know,
cool.
as I think of them. I just you just reminded me. I would have to say Rob Bell has been one of the big ones that, because, you know, originally he was fairly well accepted in the in Christianity, and me and my wife watched all the Numas and everything.
Oh,
But you know, there was little things in there, and I read that Love Wins, and that was really the big one, I think, that really started changing me, pulling me around. So, but and there's just been many things, and I remember one of the things that Rob Bell brought up was, you know, of course he was still talking from the Christian perspective in these Numas, but was it, you know, having a preacher going around with a bunch of disciples and all that type of stuff? Well, it really wasn't anything different in that time. You know, there was many of them there, and two that Reza has wrote, you know, there were many messiahs. There was many people that came and went. You know, he wasn't the only one. So, and I think that kind of really started opening my eyes and changing me a little bit. So,
Well, cool, man. Listen, I really love what when you come to the Lasting Supper and say your thing, because it's always a, you're a farmer, right? Is that right?
Well, I kind of get to be a farmer. I'm an agronomist, and normally, okay, like an agronomist, somebody's went to school for crops and soils,
right?
Like to university, and then normally you'd work at an ag input supplier, and you'd probably work for many different farmers, just going out and checking fields and maybe, right, doing recommendations and that.
Right.
Well, I'm working full time at just one farm, a large potato and grain and other crop farm, okay, here. So I get to do a lot of the farming stuff without actually being a farmer. So.
Oh, cool, yep. Cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, are you familiar with the author Wendell Berry?
I am, and that's, I think he's probably on my list. I've got a list of all kinds of books I want to read. So
being a farmer, especially, you'll appreciate him. He's an amazing thinker, an amazing writer, and he's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Scott, thanks so much. Everybody at the Lasting Supper, you can find Scott on the Lasting Supper as the Cowboy Junkie. He's also on, you're on the Facebook group,
yep,
right? So,
yep.
And Lasting Supper members, if you're not in the Facebook group, just email me and we'll get you an invite. And thanks so much, Scott, for talking with me today.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll see you at the Lasting Supper.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Okay, man. Bye.
Yep.
Well, everyone, that was Scott Gillespie, also known on the Lasting Supper as Cowboy Junkie. Anyway, if you want me to interview you for a Meet a Member podcast, as you can see, it's very easy, very simple, very laid back, very relaxed. Just let me know and we'll get you on here. We'll see you all at the Lasting Supper, where you can help yourself. Bye for now.